Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday Club anniversary service. Over the summer, we've been learning about the armour of God, and we're going to show you some of the things we've made this morning, and we're going to learn a little bit more about the armour of God. Timmy's just going to come and open for us.
Sorry. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Let us be still for a moment as we draw near to worship God. Take just a few seconds to remind yourself why we are gathered together today. Listen, God speaks even through the background noise of the world around us. Lord God, in this short time together, open our ears and our eyes to see your vision for this place and our part within it. Teach us, hear our prayers, and enable us for service wherever you might take us. To your praise and glory. Amen.
So let's extol the Lord with music and song as we stand, if you're able, and sing.
Just say, let us pray.
Let us pray. Let us offer our praise to God. We lift our voices in gratitude and praise. Creator, we adore you. All creation reflects your glory. We lift our voices in gratitude and praise. You have made women, men, girls and boys in your image. You welcome those who are vulnerable with open arms of compassionate acceptance. We lift our voices in gratitude and praise. Redeemer, we adore you. All creation is reconciled in you. We lift our voices in gratitude and praise. Where the weak and broken lie bruised and discarded, you challenge the complacent, revealing the truth behind our lies, and invite the wounded to your feast of life. We lift our voices in gratitude and praise. Sustainer, we adore you. All creation is inspired by you. We lift our voices in gratitude and praise. You breathe life into places of deathly fear. You increase our understanding of things hard to comprehend and draw us into your dance of loving joy. We lift our voices in gratitude and praise. God, three in one, all creation sings of your great deeds. We lift our voices in gratitude and praise. Amen. We have not always lived in the ways that reflect God's love for all. There are times when prejudice and ignorance have caused us to judge others as less important, less capable, less whole than ourselves. Gracious God, release us and grant us mercy. We have not always lived as people assured of our place in God's heart. There are times when despair has been our refuge and we have turned from God's promises. Gracious God, release us and grant us hope. We have not always lived as disciples of Jesus. There are times when the paths to wealth and power have been more attractive than the longer roads of justice, peace and tolerance. Gracious God, release us and grant us hope. We have not always lived as people of the resurrection. There are times when we have only seen the world as a place of threat and brokenness, forgetting God's creative genius. Gracious God, release us and grant us wisdom. In quietness, we remember those thoughts, actions and words that have marred your image in us, hurt others and damaged the world. Silence. God, the confession of our hearts and minds, in Christ we are set free. Thanks to be God. Amen.
Katie's going to come and read to us now.
Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but...
against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the days of the evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for these saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fiercely as I should.
So then, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we've been learning about the armour of God this summer. So I'm going to need the kids for the next bit, because we're going to explain what the armour of God is all about. And you have spent the whole summer, you might not be able to see from where you're sitting, there's lots of armour down here, and I need the kids to come up and put their armour on. As quietly as possible. And if the older ones want to come and help them. It doesn't matter if you don't get your bit. Now, the belts are over. Claire's got the belts over here. Just grab a helmet. Doesn't matter if it's not yours. Just put them on and then we can swap them around later. Now, the letter to Ephesians was written by Paul during his imprisonment in Rome. And therefore, the armour that he talks about is likely to look very much like Roman armour. Now, ours doesn't so much. It's our own take on Roman armour, but you'll get the general gist. So the first piece of armour, who can remember what the first piece of armour was? Anyone? No? Thank you, Katie. It's the belt of truth. Now, the belt of truth, let's start. A Roman soldier's belt carried everything he needed. It had loops for swords, it had loops for darts, it had loops to carry his ration sack in. And it held ropes. It was tied in lots of different places so that it stayed securely where it was. And if it wasn't in place, it didn't stay there. And it meant that everything was out of place. He couldn't find his swords, he couldn't find his darts, and therefore he wasn't as efficient. So why does God tell us to put on the belt of truth? Who said he was the truth? Kids, do you know? Anyone of you know who said he was the truth? Anyone? I heard it come from over there. Shout it out. Jesus. Thank you. And what did Jesus say the word of God was? Anyone? We're talking about truth, so I think the answer is fairly obvious. Jesus said the word of God was truth. So we need to make sure we have truth. We need that belt of truth to hold everything together in our lives. Have we got our belts on? So we need Jesus and we need the word of God. Sorry, you can't see, but Jediah's got his helmet right over his eyes. What comes after the belt? We put on the belt of truth, and then we put on... I can see you've all got... Well, most of you have got yours on. This bit that covers here. What was that called? Of... Righteousness. That's right. So the breastplate on a Roman soldier would have anchored to the belt. The breastplate was a central part of the army. Of the armour. And it covered all the vital organs. So it covered where his lungs were. And it covered, most importantly, the heart. Because if that heart gets damaged, you're done for. So by putting on the breastplate of righteousness, God wants us to protect our hearts. Who lives in our hearts if we ask them to? Pardon? Thank you. Jesus lives in our hearts. So we want to keep that safe, don't we? But why righteousness? What does righteousness mean? Kids, anyone of you know what righteousness means? It's a big word, isn't it? Means being right with God. God wants us to be right with him. He wants us to know the truth about him and what Jesus did for us. He wants us to live righteous lives. He wants us to live the right way. Now that isn't easy. I don't know about you, but I know I don't always live the right way. I do things, I say things. You've probably heard me having words with my daughter. Probably before the service this morning, in fairness. And we all say things, we do things, and we think things that we shouldn't. But if we're truly sorry, then with God, we can be righteous. Then what do we put on? We need something for to protect our feet. We need to put on. We're told to fit our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, I'm pretty certain that Roman soldiers' sandals didn't look like the flip-flops we've made. They would have been quite sturdy, comfortable, because they had to walk miles, and they'd have been fitted with spikes on the bottom so that even when they were standing on even uneven ground, they could balance. Probably and possibly one of the reasons why they were so victorious over their enemies is that they could stand firm. What's the gospel of peace? Anyone? Gospel of peace? It's quite simple, really. It's the good news that Jesus came and died for our sins. But why ready our feet? Why do we need to put the gospel on our feet? So that we can go out into the world and tell everyone else the good news. And that's not easy either. It's not easy going out and sharing your faith with somebody else that hasn't got a clue. But Jesus, who's in our hearts, will be with us. If you're dressed, kids, just sit on the floor. Yeah, just sit down. Can you help Hannah? What came after the feet, the shoes? Something that you hold. No. The shield. Now, no matter how good a Roman soldier's armour was, there was always going to be weak spots. And the shield could be moved around to cover those weak spots. Every great soldier would know, soldier even. I haven't had a drink, it's too early. Every good soldier would know the best way of using their shield to protect themselves. But why the shield of faith? Well, as we said before, we're constantly being tempted to do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, to go our own way, and not the way that God wants us to. But when we hold on to our shield and stand firm in our faith in Jesus, we can go the right way. Our faith covers us like a shield. It protects us from everything that's coming in at us. What comes next? You've all got something on your heads. The helmet of... No, we've done truth. Begins with an S. No, we've just done faith. Salvation. the helmet of salvation. Now, the helmet of the Roman soldier was one of the best. It had a chin strap and a visor. It came right down at the back and at the sides. It really was designed to defend them from all sides of attack. What does it protect? What does a helmet protect? Does it protect your feet? It protects your... You lot are too quiet this morning. You're not normally like this on a Sunday morning. Normally I'm like, oh, for goodness sake, can you be quiet? Yes, it protects your head. And what's in your head? We hope you've got a brain in there. Sometimes I wonder. And your mind. Why do we need to protect our heads then? Why does God want us to put on the helmet of salvation? What happens in your head? It's where we think, isn't it? And do we always think the right things? Do you think the right things, Katie? All the time? No. I know I don't. Yeah, Katie, right. Satan or the devil will try and get into how we think. He'll try and tell us that we should be doing something that's wrong. So we need to protect that head of ours so that we forget what the devil's trying to do and we focus on God. But what does salvation mean? Why the helmet of salvation? Yeah, Salvation Army, but that, no. Salvation. Anyone? Means we are saved. Means being saved. It's being saved from something. And we've been saved by who? Did someone just say bread? Grace. Oh, grace. I thought you said bread. I'm like, well, technically, I suppose that, yeah. Yeah, no, by Jesus. So we need to protect our heads from the wrong things that we may think. When we put on the helmet of salvation, it provides hope. And protects the mind against anything that could destroy our faith. Because we've been saved. We've been saved by Jesus. What's the last thing? We've mentioned everything else but one last thing. The sword. It's the sword of the sword of the Spirit. Now, a Roman soldier's sword, the one we're talking about, was a double-edged sword. And it had an upturned end that could mortally wound really easily. Now, our sword isn't quite like that. Our sword, anyone know what our sword actually is? Yeah, the one you're holding is cardboard. But what does God mean by the sword of the Spirit? What is it? It's the word of, which is, the word of God is, what? The Bible. It's the Bible. It's the best possible piece of weapon. Well, let's face it, a sword isn't even really a piece of armour, is it? It's an attacking weapon. So when we learn what it says in the Bible, we can live the best possible life that we can, free from sin. As soldiers in God's army, it's up to us to use his word, to uncover the truth and follow it. When we speak God's word according to his will, there's no power in the universe that can withstand it. So we need to read our Bibles. We need to learn what's in there. We need to have faith. We need to remember that we have been saved. So when we think about each piece of armour, we have the truth within us because Jesus lives in our hearts. We've been saved and we can live righteous lives with him and using the sword of the Spirit as the best way to attack. Please be seated. Kids, you can sit back where you were with your armour on or without it on. If you want to take it off, that's fine.
Fantastic marching.
do? We've put our armour on. Then what? Do we just make a cup of tea? Is it enough just to wear the armour?
No.
No. It isn't. Thank you. So what do we do when we've got the armour on? We're going to go out, aren't we? We're going to go and we're going to fight. What are we going to fight against? Sin. But how are we going to do that? Have you ever played on a sports team? Yeah? So, does your coach let you just go and do what you want? Is that what being part of a team is? Just going your own separate ways and doing what you want? That's not really, is it? Your coach on your sports team or your teacher at school will give you instructions, won't they, as to how they want you to play the game. They'll give you a game plan. Jesus does the same with us. Just like any good commander would do for his troops, Christ has given us a battle plan. Do you know what it is? Or how we're going to do it? We're going to do it through prayer. The way we can fight the war against sin is by praying. What is prayer? Anyone know? You're all really quiet this morning, kids. It's talking to God. Pure and simple. That's all it is. So if we're talking to God, what are we going to talk to him about? Anything and everything. Are we just going to talk to him about the bad stuff? The good stuff as well. We praise him in the good, don't we? Just like we did earlier. And we ask him for help in the bad times. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So in everything, everything, doesn't matter how big or how small, we pray. How do we pray? Do we do it all by ourselves? Or has God sent us a helper? He sent the Holy Spirit, didn't he, to help us? Romans 8, 26, 27 says this: "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." That means the Holy Spirit's there for us. He's going to help us pray. We don't always know the right words. We don't always have the right things to say. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He helps us with all of that. He intercedes with God for us. If you ask Jesus to forgive you of your old sins and live in your heart, then the Holy Spirit's going to be there too. He's going to help you. So we know what we do and how we're going to do it and who's going to help us. But when should we do it? When should we pray? All the time. Does that seem like hard work to you? Because I think it does to me. It's not easy, is it? If I'm praying all the time, when am I going to find time to go to work? Could be a bonus, but then I'm not going to get paid. Does it mean then that I have to sit at home and I have to just do nothing else but pray? No, it doesn't, does it? I wouldn't be able to go to work, or you wouldn't be able to go to school. I wouldn't be able to cook dinner because I'd just be sitting praying. It means that we should be at all times, no matter what we're doing, thinking and talking to God. So what are you going to pray for? Shout out some things you're going to pray for. School. Health.
Family.
Are we going to pray for ourselves too?
Yeah.
Where are we going to pray?
Anywhere.
Where's anywhere? Walking home from school? In the shower? In McDonald's? How do we know that God hears us? Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." God hears our prayers. Might not always answer them in the way that we expect him to or in our time, but he always hears us and he answers them. So when we humbly pray to God, we can win the fight against sin. So I've put on my armour. I've prayed. Is there anything else I need to do? Is it just good enough to just keep all this to myself? We need to go out and we need to declare it. And we need to declare our faith boldly. We heard in the reading, it says in verses 19 to 20, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Now, Paul wrote the letter and Paul was talking about himself here, but it applies to us too. We need to go out. When we've got on that armour and we've prayed about certain situations, we go out and we declare our faith boldly. And that isn't easy, but we need to tell other people that they can be saved too. We should always be prepared to talk about our faith and share our stories. Now, it isn't easy, but if we put on the armour of God, pray in all things, and declare our faith, we will win the battle against sin. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you don't leave us to struggle alone. Thank you for the gifts and tools you give us to live for you. Truth, salvation, righteousness, peace, faith, and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Today we think of this armour of hope, this armour of faith and compassion. The belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the blessed breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the presence of your Holy Spirit, which is the word of God. Your presence and help with us in all we do, everywhere we go. And so, like someone preparing to go on a rescue mission, we take up these things: truth, salvation, righteousness, peace, faith, and the presence of your Holy Spirit. We choose these things, not because they're popular or will bring us fame or make us great, but because Jesus took up these things and he invites us to follow him and to walk in his footsteps. It's not always easy to do that, so we need your help. Clothe us with these things: truth, where honesty is needed; salvation, when we forget that Jesus has set us free; righteousness and justice, so that we can stand up for what is right; peace, when we feel worried, frightened, or are tempted to join in things which cause trouble; faith, when we struggle to keep believing; and the presence of your Holy Spirit, so that we can do things with your help, your wisdom, your empowering. Thank you, Lord, for these things. We take them up today and each day in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you'd like to sit, James is going to come and lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Lord Jesus, you are the master of life and death. Everything I have is yours. We love you very deeply. Just one touch from you restores the sick, heals the broken, and transforms the darkness. We ask that you would be with all those who are sick right now. May I sense your presence, may they feel your power, may I know your love. Amen.
We pray for our government and community leaders. Save those who are not yet your own. Give those in authority wisdom in every decision and help them to think clearly. Grant them discernment and common sense so they'll be strong and effective leaders. Help them to lead and govern with integrity. May their integrity guide them and keep them on track. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for Peter. We pray that your Holy Spirit will lead and guide him in all duties that he's called upon to do. Lord, keep him ever open to hear your voice and give him a heart that seeks to draw ever closer to your heart of love day by day. Guard and guide his home life for Joe, James and Sally. Keep them united in their love for you and for each other. Amen. Father God, whose love we live and move, we pray for a world crying out to feel loved, wanted, cherished and unique. Heavenly Father, source of all love, we pray for a world torn apart by conflict and war, a world that lives uneasily in a climate of fear, with no clear vision for future days. Heavenly Father, source of all hope, we pray for a world that thinks less of others than of self, a world that division between nations, race and religion, neighbour and family leads to distrust. Heavenly Father, source of all peace, we pray for a world that is short on happiness, too busy to enjoy this world you have created, too preoccupied with living and to appreciate life. Heavenly Father, source of all joy, we pray for a world where spiritual longing is satisfied by fashionable notions and temporary solutions, with no thought for tomorrow. Heavenly Father, source of all salvation, we pray for a world that needs to know your love, your hope, your peace, your joy and salvation. A world that needs to know it is a special, unique, and is uniquely loved by Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Now then, as it's our anniversary service, it's also book giving. So I'm going to, do you want to come and give, yeah, you pass me the next one. Yeah. That's for Lydia. She's in creche. Do you want, Lydia, do you want to take it up to the, oh no, she's coming. It's on the back. No. And Eleanor. Julia. Cozy? Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that. Really rubbish. I don't think he's here. Cozy, is he here? I don't think he's here today, is he? Who's that one? Albert. Of course she can. You're not doing your job, miss. Katrina. She was here. She's here, I've seen her. Victoria? They're not here. Daniel's not here. Oh, look at you still in your armour. Don't you look fab? Jake? And Molly, Molly? Do you want to take it up to her? Ivy? Jediah? Kimberly? Not so fast. Hannah? And one of the cheekiest young men I know, Joe? My, you've changed, Joe. Oh, Frankie's not here. Sam Ogden? Do you want to take it up? Katie Evans? Abigail. Janet. Luke. Joshua. Joni, Jennifer, Sally, Sophie. Deborah, Katie, and I have two missed Bibles this year because we've got two changing groups from Splash going into Extreme. So I've got Samuel and Ronaldo. Oh, he's still got his armour on too. Come over here, Sam. And then we've got Ronaldo. Let Peter give it to you. And that's it. That's all the books given out. Now, there's this massive, great, big birthday cake here that Angela has very kindly made once again. I will do the matches, thank you. We don't really want the church burning down, but I need some help blowing the candle out because I'm a bit rubbish. One. Are we going to sing happy birthday first, aren't we? Happy birthday to Sunday Club. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sunday Club. Happy birthday to you. Go on then, blow it out. Yay! I'm going to sit down again now.
I'm going to ask Craig to come forward, because we've got a presentation to make to you, Jackie, today, as you step down today from many years as Sunday Club leader. How many?
It would have been 8 in October.
8 in October. So Jackie's stepping down as Sunday Club leader, and the children have a presentation to make, and then we've got something to show you as well on the screen. And then I've got something to say as well afterwards. So over to you.
I promised myself I wasn't going to cry this morning.
So it's a large card that all the children have made. They have cut around their hands and they have put a special message on there for you.
Oh, thank you. Put that down there. Thank you very much.
And a card and some flowers.
I'll open that in a bit.
And then we've got something that we'd like to show you on the screen. So if you want to come and have a seat in the front.
You might need this. Thank you. Haven't everybody grown who was in there? All how many hairstyles have I had?
And as well as the thank you from the children and the Sunday Club leaders, we've also got some flowers for you from the whole church family here. And also a card and a gift, again, from the whole church family, because we want to thank you for all that you have given as Sunday Club leader, for all the work that has gone into today over the summer. We thank Jackie and all the other Sunday Club helpers as well, and the children who have shown us their creativity today and all that they have done. So thank you, Jackie. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a real privilege to have been part of your children's lives for the past 8 years. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be here. I'm changing just what I'm doing in the church. But rest assured, I will always, always have a heart for the children in this church, just because I'm not leading them anymore. Nothing changes on that in that respect. Yeah. And over to you now, Claire.
Yeah.
Good luck.
let's invite Claire, because Claire Evans is taking on the mantle. Jackie's passing on the baton to Claire. So we thank you, Claire, for answering the call or having the arm twisted or combination of the two to step in at this time. And I'm just going to say a prayer for you both. So let's pray together. Loving God, we do thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to bring us life in all its fullness. And we know the younger that we can respond to your invitation, the more abundant our life will be. So we pray for Jackie as she steps down as Sunday club leader. We thank you for all that she has given, and we pray your blessing upon her as she takes on the role of church steward. Equip her, we pray, and guide her by your Spirit. And we pray for Claire. We thank you that she has stepped up to this important position, and we know that you have called her by name, and you will provide for her, and that she will be a blessing to the Sunday Club. And we pray your richest blessing upon Claire, that you will inspire her, and give her all that she needs as she leads our children's work on Sunday morning. Thank you for Jackie, thank you for Claire, and thank you for our Sunday Club. In Jesus' name, amen.
Patience, but we've got one more thank you and goodbye to say, because this is going to be Daniel's last Sunday with us in an official capacity. Daniel, you've been coming here since you were 14, apparently, or been living in Haverhill since he was 14, and we know that Gemma and Andrew are on the move in October, and Daniel's back to university in Exeter next week. So we want to publicly say how much we've appreciated all that you've done. You may have noticed that one week he sat at the drums, and the next week he sat at the piano, the following week he sat playing the guitar, and we just want to say thank you for giving up all your time and your effort and your dedication into enriching our lives and enriching our worship, and how appreciative we are of that. And we want to say how much God has blessed you with those gifts as well. So we do pray that you will find opportunity to continue to use those gifts that he's given you. So can we give a round of applause to Daniel?
For the blessings of this and all our days, we thank you, gracious God. Accept, we pray, not just this money, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all you have done for us. Use them both, in this place and wherever you might take us. Amen. May the Father's hand keep you from stumbling. The footprints of Jesus give you confidence to follow, and the fire of the Spirit keep you warm and safe in your walk with God this day.